Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We just heard an interview with Illinois Department of Public Health Director Ngozi Ezike, and now we're going to dig a little bit deeper into some of the new metrics, regions, and rules around COVID-19 that she and Governor J.B. Pritzker announced yesterday, Wednesday of this week. And for that, we are joined by Kristen Schorsch. She is a government and politics reporter at WBEZ, but before that, she has long also been a health reporter. Kristen, welcome back to the 21st. Thanks for being with us today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with how Illinois is changing its approach to dealing with COVID-19. As I said, new metrics, new regions, new tiers of mitigation, I guess they're calling it. Can you talk about first, what are some of the new metrics that we should be looking for?
Yeah, so I'd say consider this kind of a tweak to the standards that the metrics and public health uses to kind of guide how to reopen the economy. So they are still looking at the same things, but just in a different way. So, for example, they're still keeping an eye on things like, if there is 7 sustained days of increases in the amount of people testing positive for COVID, they would use that as a guide to say, hey, we need to start looking and maybe we need to put some restrictions back in place. Also, if there are 3 days in a row where that positivity rate that I just mentioned is on average more than 8%, they would immediately impose limits on things like indoor bars and restaurants. So they're still concerned about, the same types of metrics. They want to make sure the health system, the hospitals aren't overwhelmed. They want to make sure that percentage of people testing positive for COVID remains low. But they're just kind of tweaking it because, they're looking at this like we used to break out the state by 4 regions of reopening, and now it's going to be 11. So they're making it more precise because they realize they can now kind of attack COVID by industry, by geography, versus having an entire giant region have to pull back, say, close bars, for example, instead of maybe targeting bars where we see the outbreaks in a particular region.
And I had heard from, in Peoria was concerned, for example, because when these regions were first announced, the previous bigger regions, Rockford had kind of was having a harder time with the disease, but it was in the same region as Peoria, and Peoria didn't want to be lumped in with Rockford. So this, I guess, as you said, allows more narrow mitigation. What are some of those mitigation tier 1, tier 2, tier 3 what sort of things might people expect to see on the ground in their communities?
Yep. So right. So you think about in Chicago, at least we've had, our bars reopened, and then all of a sudden we saw swarms of people waiting in lines to get in without masks, not social distancing, keeping at 6 feet apart. Those are 2 big things, the masking and the social distancing that infectious disease specialists say, can prevent getting and spreading COVID. So you look at the bars, for example, in this approach, if there are bars in a certain area, like, say, certain neighborhoods of Chicago or certain neighborhoods of Peoria, you could shut those areas down instead of penalizing an entire region. So in this approach, Chicago was split up from the suburbs, for example. So now the suburbs are not going to be on the same timeline. Same thing for if they notice outbreaks with youth sports camps. We've seen that around the state. If there are lots of kids getting sick because they're on the same soccer team, or there are park districts using, certain equipment, you can track that because we're testing so many more people now. You can see right away maybe where those outbreaks are and attack those outbreaks versus penalizing, youth sports camps for, an entire region, dozens of counties, things like that. So, right, it's just a more narrowed approach. You can attack it by industry instead of penalizing, a whole giant area.
And I understand you were covering Mayor Lori Lightfoot in Chicago yesterday, her update on this and the city's approach. Is the city doing anything much different than that, or anything more targeted?
So the city, we haven't heard yet because this was just announced late yesterday. Governor Pritzker announced the state's new approach. So we haven't heard yet from Chicago if they're going to change any of their approach. But right now we're still in phase 4 for Chicago and the entire state. Which basically means, we've got lots of businesses open, but with limited capacity. Bars, restaurants, museums are starting to open again. Still, the beach is closed in Chicago, to the frustration of many people on these hot days. But I'm not sure yet if Chicago is going to change their approach. Although the mayor didn't mention that at all yesterday, and she had a press conference that basically was reminding us that we are doing well as a city in terms of cases, positivity rates, but she is worried, especially among people 18 to 29 years old, because there's the largest percentage of new cases. She's worried that we're going to get this uptick and then have to impose restrictions again.
Yeah. And as we just heard that from Dr. Ezeke, that age range of both teenagers increasing and, as you said, the 18 to 29-year-old demographic. If you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Kristen Schorsch. We've been talking about Illinois' new, tweaked approach to dealing with COVID-19. And I think it bears repeating that one of the reasons we are taking all these mitigation measures is this attempt to, as they say, flatten the curve, right? Keep hospitalizations down so that hospitals are not over capacity. And I mention this because, Kristen, you recently had an interesting investigation into an aspect of this, which is the hospital transfer system in Illinois. I gather this is a kind of fail-safe for when individual hospitals reach capacity, say, with COVID patients in their ICU. They're supposed to be able to send people elsewhere. How is that system supposed to work?
Well, it's interesting. I talked to lots of hospitals about this, and each one of them told me that they thought that there was some sort of coordination, or at least some sort of tracking of the data, right? That maybe the state public health department was collecting all this information and was guiding decisions. But it turns out that there is no agency that coordinates transfers. So if you are, like when we had our peak number of cases, depending on the region of the state, and all these hospitals were overwhelmed, small and large academic centers, all overwhelmed, right? If you needed to transfer patients to free up space, basically hospitals are on their own to do it. There's no coordination, and there's actually no agency, like public health-wise, that can force hospitals to take patients. So basically hospitals are scrambling. And among the hospitals that I talked to who would actually provide data to me, it looks like African-American and Latino residents are those impacted the most, and those are people who are dying most of COVID.
And so last thing I want to ask you before we need to wrap up this segment, I understand some lawmakers have called for changing the system. What are they asking for?
Yeah, well, they want coordination. They think that the state should be coordinating this, perhaps. Just considering, you know, the pandemic isn't going away anytime soon, this issue is going to keep bubbling up. And they also recommended, so one thing that the Chicago Public Health Department is doing is they're trying to create basically a dashboard that would show where hospital beds are available in real time. And one of the lawmakers I talked to represents the west side of Chicago, and he would like to see that dashboard be statewide so that you could know at any time where can we send a hospital, a patient to an empty hospital bed. So those are some of the things that they are concerned about. Also, they would want to fine hospitals that reject patient transfers, which I'm sure is going to be really controversial, and the hospital lobbying groups would likely fight that if that came up. But we'll see what happens. You know, we don't, lawmakers are not going back to Springfield, at least so far, until after the November elections. So, you know, they could have a special session, but we'll have to see what actually happens.
Kristen Schorsch is a government and politics reporter for WBEZ, who's been also doing a lot of excellent coverage on COVID-19. Kristen, thanks so much for being back with us on The 21st today.
Sure. Thanks for having me.